official for over 25 years in the CFL. Now he is the West evaluator. Bud Steen joins us again. Bud, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, speaking of the All-Star Game in baseball, did you not officiate the last ever CFL All-Star Game?
It was excruciating. The Players Association were using it as a bit of a fundraiser for the...
It's like the mid-90s, was it not?
Yes. Last game was played in Edmonton in the rain. We may have had, there might have been 10,000 people there. We turned the clock on probably, let's say, 5 minutes into the third quarter and just let it run. It was brutal, just brutal. Nobody wanted to hit anybody. You know, lots of passes being thrown, but few getting caught. And that was it. It's done, and I'm not sure we'll see it again.
Well, especially because that All-Star game was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So, of course, you do it in the NFL, and the Pro Bowl is really kind of a reward for the guys when their season's over. They fly down, and they have some fun. You can't hit anybody. You can't hit the quarterback out of the pocket. There's so many rules.
Right.
But, you know, they've had it that way. Having it at the beginning of the season is ridiculous.
No, it's just a no-starter there. So, anyway.
Now... were you considered an all-star official by getting to all-star or officiate the all-star game?
There wasn't a hell of a lot of money to pay the officials in those days, so there was a bunch of local guys at it. So.
Yeah.
It was being practical, really.
Okay. Now, we've had a lot of people, because we didn't get into it last week, but a lot of Eskimo fans are wondering why in the opening play of the game against Hamilton, when Amando Sewell, looked like he got the fumble, it was deemed no fumble that first play from scrimmage. What was the decision as to why it wasn't Edmonton's ball?
Forward progress stopped. Quarterback's in the pocket. He gets surrounded. The ball doesn't come out immediately. Referee, who is back in behind the quarterback, has reached the conclusion that he's not going anywhere and nothing good can come of this play. So, it takes a millisecond between reaching that conclusion in his mind and blowing his whistle. And at that point, the ball probably starts to move. But he reached the conclusion that the play was at an end, that forward progress, the quarterback wasn't going anywhere. So it's over. And that's it.
It's early on in the season, but penalties are way up.
Yes, they are.
Why?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think it's one that is well put to the teams. A lot of the penalties that we're seeing, there is a much higher number of offensive offsides this year.
Yes.
It's
like I was wondering, are they calling it tighter?
No.
Okay.
No. The standard for offensive offside has not changed at all. At the first movement of the football from the center to the quarterback, all offensive players have to be no further downfield than the line of scrimmage. And if their foot is across the line of scrimmage, they're offside. And there is a lot of that. So I think it's a timing thing. I believe that the offenses are looking for perhaps a bit of a jump. Not really sure, but boy, you're seeing a lot of that. We're also seeing some defensive penalties, some defensive offside penalties too. A lot of the fouls that we're seeing are what we would describe in the officiating community as preventable fouls, and really it's just discipline on the part of the teams to tighten up a little bit and be a little bit more careful. As an aside, we, the local officials in Edmonton, have a standing invitation now from the Edmonton Eskimos to attend days 2 and 3 practices and to work with the team to assist them as necessary in this very regard. So we're hopeful that we can at least start to bring some of the fouls down with this one football club.
The other one that, of course, we've seen a big rise in is the unnecessary roughness on the passer. And I understand that the league wants to protect the quarterback. I get it.
Yeah.
But you're seeing some where the guy's barely getting touched and it's being flagged for unnecessary roughness. How do you find a middle ground? Like, I understand wanting to protect the guy, but it's still football, and hitting the quarterback is allowed.
Any blow to the quarterback or to any player above the shoulders is a penalty. And unfortunately... for the most part, the quarterback is the most vulnerable player on a football team, because he's standing essentially flat-footed as a target for 285-pound rockets coming at him. So it's not difficult to envisage a situation where he's going to get receive a blow above his shoulders. So, you know, that's the starting point. Anytime a blow, and you figure out what a blow is, anytime a blow is delivered above the shoulders, you should see a flag. Yes, we are seeing more roughing the passer flags this year than we saw to this point last year.
Was there a guy? And the reason I ask that question is, was there a guideline sent out to call it more strict?
No. The standard this year is better presented, better enunciated, but really we have not been told to be more stringent this year than we were in the past. Having said that, we may have been a little too lenient in the past. In my day, when I was officiating football, I officiated from the perspective that if that fellow was back there making the highest dollars on his football club and leading his football team, he was likely going to take some pretty serious physical punishment. And as long as it wasn't extremely dirty, I was good with that, and I was consistent team to team. We are in a different world these days. Litigation in the United States with respect to head injuries, all sports are particularly cognizant of player safety. And again, the quarterback is in the most vulnerable position, and so we need to be very, very careful. If any other player in the team gets whacked in the head, you should see flags for that as well. We're just trying to preserve our assets, the football players, because that's who people come to see, that's who they're paying their money to see, and we want them to continue to play and succeed and entertain us.
Bud Steen joins us inside the Stripes, presented by Mobile One. The other one, and you know, we'll get to other games because, of course, you're not just doing the Eskimos, but here in Edmonton, there Grant Shaw late in the game. There was he got on a punt, he got hit, got contact. There was not, because there's difference between contacting the kicker, and there's a 15-yard penalty, yes, and there's a 5-yard penalty.
There's a 10 and a 15. Contacting is just incidental contact on the kicker, and roughing the kicker occurs when he gets discombobulated, yes.
So I'm sure you went through the film yep. On the one late in that game, and there was no call. Shaw, now I understand that the team itself, they always say, hey, that should be a foul. Sure. What was the determination afterwards why it wasn't?
Well, actually, there were two of them, and they were on back-to-back kicks. The first one, late in the fourth quarter, the fellow that made contact with the kicker came off a block, and so essentially he lost control of his body, so to speak, and the rule is such that if you're essentially blocked into the kicker, then that's fine as long as you do not rough the kicker. And that was not roughness. That would have been contact had he not come off the blocker. The second one, on my evaluation of the game, it looked to me like the kicker was dangling. That means he held his leg out longer than he had previously in the game.
So they're trying to draw a penalty.
One might describe it as such, yes. I'm not going to accuse a player of trying to draw penalties, but it was out there for a slightly longer period of time than the previous one. It was a hell of a kick. He put it out, I think, at the 2. And, it may have been like a golf shot when you hang your club a little longer because it's looking so sweet in the air. Can't say that. But his leg was out there for a while, and I communicated back and forth with the referee, and we were on the same page with that. It was incidental contact to begin with, and he should have had his leg down.
The other interesting one is the 5-yard penalty for no yards on punts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just early. I don't know if the punters are changing the rotation on what they're doing, but we're seeing a lot of balls bouncing, hit the ground, and then come back towards the kicker, yeah. Right? So now the guys are standing there, and somebody just jumps on the ball, and the flag goes out. It, to me, it's It's a stupid penalty, and I'm not blaming the officials for it, but it seems like a dumb penalty, like, because there's all these flags on the field, and when flags are thrown, a lot of people assume a mistake was made, right? Or an egregious, and in a case like that, it's like, well, man, that's just a bad bounce. Has there ever been talk that somehow, you know what, maybe there's still a five-yard penalty. We just don't throw a flag. You just put it on there, and that sometimes the impression looks different on TV. People won't even really notice the difference if the ball is scrimmage at the 38 or the 43. You know what I mean?
Well, the flags help us, too. As officials, they're signals to us as much as they are to the fans, so that we know that something has occurred. Sometimes in the heat of a game, communication can get a little bit difficult. Back 35 years ago, the officials used to have what I think was a bicycle horn on their wrist. And when they threw a flag, they'd blow their horn. And then all the other officials would be, there's an infraction out there. So I'm not sure that I agree with you that we shouldn't be putting flags down.
But what about that rule? It seems like you're getting penalized for a bad bounce. Because guys are running full speed. You see them. They're standing there. Then the ball bounces back. They're backpedaling out of the way, they're still inside the five-yard zone, so they're getting penalized. Like, to me, it just seems like you haven't done anything wrong. I'm not sure it's worthy of a penalty.
The advantage that a kicking team can gain, though, from a ball bouncing back towards their scrimmage is the kicker can get down there and recover it and get first down.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, so... If you don't want that penalty, don't kick it with that spin on it, and spin it forward rather than backwards. These guys are so incredibly talented. I think they've got a pretty good control over where that ball is going to drop and how it's going to go once it hits the ground.
And it's not the officials I'm blaming here. When I look at the ruling of the, I wonder if that's one that's really benefiting anybody on the field.
Yeah, and that's that. Has
it ever been brought up?
We've discussed it several times about whether or not we should have that 5-yard penalty. The problem with not penalizing that no yards is what happens if there is another infraction by the other team on the field, and we don't then have a chance to balance those two fouls. So, it's sort of six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Well, you think guys will take cheap shots knowing that? Because wouldn't one doesn't necessarily have any impact if the guys. I don't know if it's holding on the other side of the field or something. How would that really impact whether the ball is going back or not?
It won't impact on the direction of the ball, but is it fair to the kicking team that the receiving team has held them, and there's not some sort of address to that? So it's an interesting question, and I'm not sure. Years ago, Jason, we used to have two fouls for face masking. We had the one where you closed your hand and yanked, and we had the one where you just had your hand on the grill. And one was 15 and one was 5. And we got rid of
the 5.
Exactly. Now, anytime you touch the guy's face mask, in theory, there should be a 15-yard unnecessary roughness penalty for face masking. So it is a possibility. Maybe it's something that should come up to Rules Committee again. One of the things we said late last year in the show was the league is very interested in what the fans have to say about their game, because it is truly your game, Canadians who are watching this game and supporting the game. So if you believe that the rules could be made better in some fashion, please communicate with the league, enunciate your position, support it with something. Don't just pull something out of your ear, talk about how you see the game going. And I can tell you that the league will take it very seriously.